Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to a celebration of football. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Watching the Bucks and the Cowboys tonight so far, about as entertaining a game as you could possibly want to see. Just about 20 seconds before halftime right now, Tampa Bay leads the Cowboys 21-16. Dak Prescott, its only real blemish of the first half, just took a really terrible sack on second down to take them out of field goal range, and then had to scramble out of bounds on third down. So the Buccaneers are going to head into halftime with at least a 2-point lead, potentially five, as it would be a really long field goal for the Dallas Cowboys right now.
And you're not trusting Greg Zuerlein to come out and kick it, given his first half. Look, coming back off a back injury and surgery and all that, but he's not even close.
And he's already missed an extra point. They've already missed one. It should be 21-17.
Well, and a 31-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Now, they did get an absolute gift from Ronald Jones, which gave them a short field to turn into a touchdown. So it kind of bounced back and forth. But certainly you're not trusting him really to do much of anything at this point. But you might as well super toe it. But it's there's 20 seconds left. You're not running 20 seconds off the clock.
No, dude, just let Dak kick the field goals at this point. Just let Dak do it.
Look,
just let Dak do it.
They finally actually, look, they're actually bringing him out. Greg the leg.
Just let Dak do it.
Greg the leg, seeing if the extra yardage will actually allow it to curve into the proper space. But yeah, Dak's been fantastic, moving well. He got chased down a couple of times here on this final drive. A couple of near interceptions that ended up really helping to extend drives. And they cashed in on them, right? Just amazing, amazing, the inability to secure a football sometimes. And then you say, that's why they play defense.
That's why they play the games. Again, this is about as entertaining a first half as you could possibly want to see. We've had so much offense. It's going to be a 60-yard field goal attempt for Greg Zuerlein right now, and he kicks it short and to the left. So likely we're going to halftime. 21-16, Tampa with the lead. I assume they're going to kneel on the ball. But you never know. They have a timeout left, and they will be able – no, they don't have any timeouts left. I thought they had one. So they could potentially throw out of bounds and maybe kick a long field goal, so maybe not. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's been an interesting half. A couple of injuries on the defensive secondary side for Tampa. You've got Murphy Bunting and Whitehead, and then they were just taking off Golston as well. So a lot of activity in that regard. I got to say, I was in the car driving to the studio, so I got to hear some Kevin Harlan. And nothing gets you revved up like Kevin Harlan. But there was a great exchange between he and Kurt Warner on a ball that Carlton Davis should have intercepted. And at one point earlier, you'd had Harlan refer to him. He goes, well, you know, the self-proclaimed greatest cornerback in the league. And there's this pause, and Warner's like, it doesn't sound like you believe that. And then when he dropped the interception, he goes, dropped by Davis. And Warner deadpans, like, clearly not the best corner in the league to your mind. Because, well, I was thinking it. I wasn't going to say it. It's like, we're in midseason four, boys. Let's go.
But there are so many things to break down here from this game so far. And the first thing I'll say is this. I told you this is how the Cowboys had to play this game if they were going to upset the Bucks. Go down the field. Don't try to run the football and establish Ezekiel Elliott. No. Go. You paid Dak all that money. Let's see him do it. And go up and down the field. That's the way you beat the Buccaneers. That's the only way, because they're going to score. And so far for Dak, 224 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns. He has looked really strong. Ezekiel Elliott, just 4 carries on the day so far. So clearly Dallas listens to the show, and this is how they're doing it. And Dak is on the same page with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. These guys are all catching tons of passes. Dak is on pace over 400 yards through the air. And oh, by the way, remember when I said Dak Prescott, he's my guy for MVP. He can start out and get the ball rolling, early with a big first night, big first couple of games. He's going to give you the stats. He's going to give you everything. And look what he's doing so far. 224 through the air in the first half. And clearly it's going to get up to at least 300, maybe 400 yards in the second half, because they're still going to keep throwing the football.
Sure. And they'll lose and it won't matter.
Oh, it matters for MVP.
No, it doesn't. Not game. If you lose.
But if he throws 450 yards and 5
Who
touchdowns,
cares?
Guess what? MVP. MVP. MVP.
You're
Mike
just
Harmon.
Diseased. You're just trying to speak this into existence.
MVP.
Look, I know LeVar Ball left that behind, but come on, man. You're better than that. Hot take nonsense isn't the hallmark of this show.
Look, I told you that this is how Dak Prescott does it. He's got all the attention, he's got the storyline, and he's going to give you numbers. And as long as the Cowboys are in contention, and it doesn't mean they don't need to be a 12-4 team or 13-4 team, they just need to be a team that's near the top of the NFC East, and the NFC East is awful. And if they lose tonight, they're supposed to lose. But if he throws for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns, now I'm at 500 yards for him.
Yeah,
if he throws for
600
yards and 6 touchdowns, if he throws for 800 yards tonight and 9 touchdowns, if he has a huge night tonight, guess what? He plants the flag, and he's got the early storyline, and it doesn't leave him, because this is how you do it in the NFL. You have to grab that storyline early and say, okay, I have all the eyeballs, and being the quarterback of the Cowboys, you're always going to have the eyeballs on you. And if you're putting up big numbers, and you even if it's in a fantasy world, and you're 7-5, 8-4, 6-3, and hey, we're at the top of the NFC East, guess what? Dak Prescott MVP is going to get all the run, man. So everything I said for the Cowboys the last two nights has come true. This is how they're going to have to beat the Buccaneers, throwing the football up and down the field. They're doing it. Dak Prescott was going to announce his candidacy for MVP early. He's doing it. It's like I'm in Jerry Jones's bedroom and he's telling me things before we go out and have meetings and everything. I should have said boardroom. I said bedroom. I meant to say boardroom.
No,
I did
you
not
said
need
it.
To say bedroom.
It's there.
I meant to say
now
boardroom.
They're banging each other,
whispering sweet nothings into your ear. Look, you know, whatever you do, you got a relationship with Jerry Jones. That's good. We'll use it for good on the show. Look, Ezekiel Elliott, a non-factor. You saw a bunch of Tony Pollard in the lineup, and you've seen Dak working out of the shotgun almost exclusively. Right? I don't even know the splits, but every time you look up and watch the play unfold, he's a few yards back and getting the ball out fast, taking advantage of the fact that they're trying to bring a rush, trying to contain, because they've got to keep it honest with Zeke Elliott back there. So we'll see if he punches anybody at halftime for the lack of workload. But his check's going to clear anyway. So
it doesn't
we've
got to
figure out exactly where
no
Zeke is on all of that. I got to imagine he's pretty pissed off, though. with Dak throwing the ball 32 times. Again, got away with a couple, but every quarterback does. So don't make it just the guys you hate. We'll be consistent on that throughout the year. But when we look at it, the shotgun short and yak. Right? Make guys miss on the outside. Mm-hmm. And you see Brady throwing for the downs a couple of times. You got that big play to Antonio Brown, who's been fantastic, 4-for-118. You had that 47-yard touchdown reception where Anthony Brown was looking for safety help that never came. I don't have sound on in the studio, Smith, but I started hearing him screaming, "Where the were you? Where were you?" Because the safety was nowhere to be found. He's looking back for help. Nope, Antonio Brown just ran past you. But a fantastic first half. You got 37 points, baby. 37.
That's all you need, man.
Yeah,
all
that over-under looking pretty.
Mm-hmm. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. It can happen easily. A few drinks become a few too many. Time to go. You think of calling for a ride home. Nah, what's the worst can happen? You get pulled over, you lose your license, you total your car, you kill someone, drive sober, or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA. So now, if that's the Cowboys' angle of this, and they have done everything to stay in this game in the first half, everything I've said, I'll tell you what stands out for me for Tampa Bay. Not that Tom Brady is playing great. Look, he's 213 through the air. He's got 3 touchdowns. He has gotten picked off twice, but the last one, a Hail Mary on the final play in the first half.
The other one was Leonard Fournette gaff.
Yes, right. So it's not like, oh, my God, right. You can't fault him on either turnover. Yes, he threw the ball, so I guess you can if you want to. But this wasn't, oh, what is Brady thinking? And the second one was a Hail Mary end of the first half on the final play. But you mentioned Antonio Brown. Four catches, 118 yards and a touchdown. He's got five targets already from Tom Brady. I got news for you, man. Antonio Brown could catch 100 passes this year. He is quite clearly Tom Brady's favorite target.
Yeah, but you said yesterday he was going to be trash.
No, he and Gronk,
they're at 7 for 144.
Hey, maybe they want. Maybe Tampa Bay gets old overnight. I said that's probably not going to happen until the end of the year. But all the reports this early of the season were with Antonio Brown, and clearly Brady has an affection for him, right? Not only when they got him on New England, he only played for a game, still had that, hey, AB, let's go sign Antonio Brown. Bruce Arians didn't want him. Tom Brady said, let's sign Antonio Brown. He stays at Tom Brady's house. He plays last year, and the last half of last year, he was Brady's favorite receiver. Now, it took Antonio Brown a while to get back in the swing of things, and it's not like he lit the world on fire. But you clearly, he was getting a lion's share of passes. And if you parse out the last half of last year for a whole year, hey, it's a pretty good year for Antonio Brown. But now you can tell clearly he is Brady's favorite receiver. So much to the point that you know somebody is not going to get the ball. You know Antonio Brown is going to get the ball because Brady defaults to him for whatever. And look, Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver in the game, bar none, up until his issues, 18 to 24 months ago. And so you saw in the first half, all right, Godwin's getting the targets and AB's getting the targets and Mike Evans is not. He's got two targets in the first half. There's only going to be room for a couple of studs on this team. And clearly, Antonio Brown is going to be Brady's default guy. When Brady's in trouble, he's going to throw to Antonio Brown. And with four catches already in the first half, you can wind up with seven or eight. I mean, you're looking at an Antonio Brown that could catch 100 passes this year, and suddenly it's maybe he still is the best receiver in the NFL after having 2 years of a journey, which we didn't even know if he was going to be out of jail or not. So that was a really big deal. But looking at him, hey, whatever you think about him as a person, as a player back in the game, he could catch 100 passes this year. Because, like I said, clearly him and Brady have that kind of relationship, and Brady has that desire to throw the football to him more than anybody else. So get ready, man. AB could wind up being a big, big-time stud again this year.
Yeah, it's the beauty of it when you look at how you can spread things out when you've got your full complement of receivers. I mean, Godwin became a target in the red zone, 5 for 59 in the score in the first half, but AB one-on-one with a cornerback that is lost in space. You've got to show respect to Mike Evans, only two targets, as you said. Likewise, across the middle, it's like pick your poison, right? It's just a matter, does Brady get enough time? Do you get enough of a chip from Fournette or Ronald Jones or whomever's back there in the backfield to give him time for the separation to occur? So over the course of a full year, he stays healthy, stays out of trouble, and goes forward. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at 8 to 10 targets a night. I mean, just do the simple math. I mean, we're talking about a ridiculous potential of a total when this team really finds its stride, right? This is game one, and they're already playing at a high level. Last year, it took till what, game 13? And so now the gang's all together and coming up with big play after big play. Dallas's defense has made a couple of spots, where they've looked solid and attacking to the ball, but you're still going to have time. They're not there yet. I don't think the personnel is there. So, yeah, your Dak numbers are going to be there on the other side. Yeah, I think Brady and company, we're looking at some ridiculous totals, which is good in a 17-game season that every record, assuming people stay healthy, gets shattered. Yay, year one.
So those are your big nights so far. Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Antonio Brown. Look, CeeDee Lamb's already got 58 yards and a touchdown too, but really Dak is spreading the ball out a bit. But my goodness, everybody throwing the football and most everybody catching the ball is having a big night. The running game is this is the way it should be in the NFL. The running game only when necessary.
Well, you got a turnover when necessary. Turnover that you can blame on both of the Tampa Bay running backs. Right? Yep. Jones with the fumble, and then you had Fournette, number 7.
Mm-hmm.
with his gaffe and the pick. And I don't know how you can run. Like, nine guys get to run 40 yards the other way and do a big celebration. That's not taunting or excessive celebration by any of the rules. Like, I just don't understand. Not that I want it called, because I think it's a dumb rule. But, you know, if they're going to say we're emphasizing taunting, how's that not? But, yes, Ezekiel Elliott, invisible. He's on the side of a milk carton after the first half.
Oof. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smiths are with Mike Harmon. Just think about that. AB 100 catches. Dak Prescott.
Madness.
MVP.
No. No.
It's happening. Buddy, it's happening.
You can have one of the two. You can't have both.
I'm sorry, Thanos. It's happening. All right? It's inevitable. Okay? It's happening. It's here. It's happening. You think it's okay to drive stone? The truth is your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Stop kidding yourself. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high. Get a DUI, paid for by NHTSA. So we'll have more on this game coming up next, as well as a huge story out of the NFL. I can't believe what is happening to one team is continuing to happen day after day after day. It's not Cleveland. It's coming up next right here, Fox. It's like I'm in Jerry Jones's bedroom and he's telling me things before we, you know.
And now they're banging each other.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Huge boner.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Second half just underway. Cowboys with the football. 14:38 to go in the third. They trail Tampa Bay 21-16, but an entertaining game. And I want to say this, because I've done this in the last few minutes, Mike Harmon. I've looked at Drew Brees, his first appearance here on NBC, on the NFL. And I looked at pictures of Drew Brees when he was playing, and boy, his hair looks great now on television. Much better and much more of it than it did when he was playing. I don't know. I'm just looking at pictures and seeing. I'm just trying to see. Just looking at pictures. Just trying to see.
Looks so natural. No one can tell. Hey, you know what? It's like the Urlacher billboards along every stretch of highway in Illinois. You know what?
I'll tell you.
Whatever you do, you do. I'm trying to figure it out myself. I got a nice patch that's starting to grow. It betrays my otherwise youthful looks.
Well, you know what you need? You need that spray that's like that sprays the hair follicles. That attaches. Sure. That's what you need. You need that. And then it just washes out, I think.
Get a nice lacquer over the top, too.
How you do it. Just get
do that
shoe polish.
Like they used to do to preserve baseballs when you threw a no-hitter or something in Little League. This funky orangish brown? Well, we slap this on it so it'll preserve the signatures forever. I'm like, but it looks terrible. it looks like, you know, what they found the mosquito in Jurassic Park.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. So tonight we are watching the opening night in the National Football League. As I said last night, we made it. I think Fox listens to the show. Obviously, we know Fox listens to the show. They put out a We Made It tweet today, which was awesome.
Yeah, looks like we...
32 stars. Look how close Zach Wilson was to the middle of that picture. I was very excited about that. But we are looking at a story in the NFL that really defies logic.
Yeah.
How a team continues to lose running backs like the Ravens have. It's gotten past the point of bad luck to just what did they do to the football gods? All right. Within 12 days now, they have lost three starting running backs in a span of these days due to injuries. They lost J.K. Dobbins for the season. That was a huge, huge blow, right? I mean, look, you like J.K. Dobbins for fantasy. He was someone who was going to be part of that big three-headed rushing attack. Look, this is a team that runs the football really well. And it's not that their running backs are great. Their running backs are good when you add the 1,000 yards that Lamar Jackson runs for. Hey, we run the ball great. So they lose him, which is a huge blow. But, okay, we have a couple other guys now that can do it. Then they lose Justice Hill, who was projected to be one of the backups with an Achilles injury a few days ago. And then today, you get a double whammy. I know the running back is getting more attention here, but they lose Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters at practice today, both suffering torn ACLs. Practice was stopped early. This was not a practice that was in pads. This was not something where things got out of control. They both were practicing, no pads, torn ACL. Peters goes down with an injury first, and then a few plays later was when Edwards got hurt. And that's when John Harbaugh called an end to practice. This run of three running backs that they are now losing, and now you've lost a really good defensive back in Marcus Peters. Look, we'll get to the situation with the Ravens in a second, because we're going to get to some teams that could really take a dive this year. But this is just some kind of run, and I don't know how you overcome this if you're the Ravens. Like, yes, Lamar Jackson is terrific, and he's, you know, proven to be one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. But when you lose all your running backs and you lose a great defensive back, you can't just keep saying, hey, we're gonna go next man up, right? You've already signed Le'Veon Bell, and he's coming in. And now reports are they're going to sign Latavius Murray, and it's going to be all the guys that are kind of done, that are past their prime, but they need some guys to come in to run the football. So this is where the Ravens are at right now. You're calling guys that aren't in the league to come in, and 4 days before an opening game, say, hey, come in, help us. I don't know how the Ravens get past this. It's going to be really, really difficult.
Well, they signed Devontae Freeman, too. So, like, it's just, hey, if you've ever been a lead back somewhere, we're going to give you a look-see and hope that the football gods are done with us. It's really amazing. Just when that tweet came out, it just stopped me. Right? I'm in the middle of doing a bunch of rankings, doing some radio hits, and it's like, wait, really? I'd literally just gotten off the phone in Baltimore probably 20 minutes before that news came down. I was like, well, that kind of changes everything. Now, doesn't it? Especially with the hype that I've had for the Ravens. You mentioned the J.K. Dobbins love last week, or earlier this week, I should say. Jason Lockenfora corroborated some things that I'd been hearing about his potential use, split out a little wide as a receiver and all of these things. And, well, it all goes for naught. And so now you're scraping the bottom of the barrel with all these veteran running backs, hoping to catch lightning in the bottle with one of them. Your offensive line should be strong. Your receivers. Remember, you already got hit with a bunch of receiver injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me is wondering, does the Chicago Park District run the facilities for the Ravens?
Wow, that's a hot take.
And for folks that know what that means, you're laughing hysterically. And if you want to look it up, look it up. It's one of the big beefs that the Bears have and why they're looking at Arlington Park and moving to Arlington Heights is the fact that they have no control over the facility, which means they can run out whatever they want. Soccer game on Saturday night? Sure. Bears, noon kickoff. Let's go. You can have a high school game on Friday. You can have two.
Okay.
And then, so like with the Ravens, like, is it the training staff? Is it just a run of just really bad luck? Is there something on the field? Like, there's so much you need to go and try to investigate. We talk about it all the time, and Frostberg's going to hate me for it, but we've talked about the Chargers and some of the injury issues that they've had over the last couple of years. Like, you just start wondering what the hell's going on that you have that type of, dare I say, epidemic strike your locker room. It's just amazing.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. I was already leaving in Baltimore this year anyway because they didn't really get better from a year ago. This is on the football field, right? They didn't really get better. They signed Sammy Watkins.
They did draft Rashad Bateman, who ended up having to have surgery, so he goes down.
Yes.
They re-signed and just like they had pieces now, at least in the past game. Were they world beaters? No, but it was an upgrade. And all those guys are hurt now too. Sammy Watkins is somehow the last man standing.
Yeah, and look, Sammy Watkins is, I have him on my fantasy team, one of my fantasy teams, so I hope he's good. But still, this is not a team that got better in the offseason, right? They didn't go out and say, what's our number one thing? We need more wide receivers, so let's go get a couple of guys. No, they went out and got Sammy Watkins. Oh, wow. Okay, Sammy Watkins, who nobody wanted anymore because we've seen, okay, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
They didn't get better. Their defense is pretty good. Now they lose Marcus Peters today. But this was when the NFL is starting to catch up a little bit to Lamar Jackson, and they need to get better and branch out offensively to be able to make up for that. And now you've lost two really good running backs, you know, one of your backup running backs, and one of your starting cornerbacks who's also one of the leaders of the team. I don't know how you get past that and be a Super Bowl contender. I don't see it. You talk about teams that can take a dive this year that are not going to be at the top, just we think they're there because they've always been there. I don't see how the Ravens contend. I really don't. It's really difficult for me to see other Ravens contend. There's a couple other teams there, too, that I can think can take a dive this year, but clearly the Ravens are up there. It's, okay, if I already had questions before, now in 12 days you lose these three really, really good players. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you think that Freeman and Latavius Murray and Le'Veon Bell and whoever else you're going to bring in at running back is going to – I don't know. I don't. Jamal Lewis, can he still come in and play? I mean, I don't know.
Nice.
I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to – I can't see them being a Super Bowl contender. I think they're going to wind up – they won't start as fast, and it's going to be one of those seasons that kind of snowballs on them, and they realize that, okay, we have to figure something else out for next year. I can't see them contending.
I'm not going to lie. I was still feeling pretty good until today. I was willing if this offensive line is healthy, right, and Stanley's ready to go – and Tyson Johnson, a guy we've talked about, good to see folks finally listening to what I've been barking for a week plus over to get there. But with the additions at wideout, thinking, all right, they'll miss the four games and come back and at least give them an upgrade over last year. And that defense is always stout. Running game will work. Plug guys in. As long as the linemen are healthy, you'll find guys that'll be able to make it work, and Lamar will make enough plays. After those two losses today, right, because they were going to ride the bus, that was the joke before the practice that took him out with Gus Edwards and obviously Peters, a loss that you just throw your hands up going, what did we do? Like that, they have to look around. It's like, because people immediately started going, oh, was winning all those preseason games. Look at what it did for you. I'm like, no. Come on now. You can't do the, it's 1-1. Hey, they won and played hard in those preseason games, so that's why they're all hurt. That's ludicrous. It's a nice hot take. Again,
it is.
It's bad logic, but, you know, hey, have at it. It wouldn't be anybody's first time.
Look, when I see something, and I hate to say this because I'm agreeing with a guy who, you know, obviously is not a good GM and he's got issues and the Mets haven't sent him away now, is when Zach Scott, who was acting GM of the Mets, like, why do you have all these injuries? Well, we got guys that don't take care of themselves. It's these soft tissue injuries that have to be adjudicated more. If it was injuries like that, I would say, okay, maybe you have to take a look at your medical staff because there's a reason why, hey, these guys are hurt and they're not coming back. They're either the system to get them in shape is not there and the way they rehab and come back is not quite there. You know, if you see these soft tissue injuries happening that, okay, well, here's this and here's something in a quad and here's something in a hamstring or whatever it is, and then you see them continuing to suffer from, you see like a rash of it, okay, are the guys really in shape, right? That's when you can look at the conditioning program and you can look at what the doctors have prescribed in them coming back if they're not coming back fast enough. But injuries like this, torn ACLs, I mean, they're just things that happen, right? I mean, it's unfortunate, but they're injuries that happen in sports. It's not, oh, if you didn't do this, you wouldn't have torn ACLs. I mean, eventually we're going to get to an NFL where it's going to be, you know, we're just not even going to play. We're just going to wait. We're just going to play the games. What about practice? No practice. We're just going to watch film, and then we're going to go out for the games on Sunday, and that's it. We're not going to go out and practice, not going to do anything because guys are going to get hurt. Yes, it's tackle football. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes that's the reality people have to understand. You are playing a sport where you can get injured. It's the sport you are most likely to get injured in because of the amount of physical contact, because of the planting you have to do, the turning, the bodies that fall on one another.
Yeah, the torque.
That's just what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to use the word torque. So
it is. Pretty good. And the last time you used that was for Peter Torque, I think was.
Well, we do celebrate the entire catalog of the Monkees.
And TJ, then I saw her face and I was a believer, TJ. So that's really what it is. You know, I mean, it's not something where you look at the coaching staff. These are torn ACLs. I mean, they're unfortunate. They happen. It's tackle football.
Yeah, it's just a preponderance of them in a very short amount of time. And when we're talking non-contact injuries, you're just like, really? How does it, like, Because this one, I didn't believe. I immediately started really verifying that the blue check mark was there. It's like someone was playing a cruel joke. It's like, you're not going to believe this. Like, no, come on, this can't happen. And it wasn't because you're bullish on a team or a player. Like, you and I, you know, probability, statistics, and breaking down, you know, news events, it just seemed like a convergence of things that was improbable. Like, if we were to put the math to it, you know, that's, you know, one to include whatever power. Like, it's just a very low percentage of all of these things happening. But here we are.
It can happen easily. A few drinks become a few too many. It's time to go. You think of calling for a ride home. Nah, I can drive. What's the worst gonna happen? I get pulled over. I lose my license. I total my car. I kill someone. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA. So while it's hard for me to see the Ravens contending, I mean, it just is. There's only so many times you can say, well, next man up. It's really, really difficult. We got some other teams that could wind up falling into that category.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, something funny happened on Dak Prescott's way to the MVP. A business decision by CeeDee Lamb.
That's what I'm calling it.
Turns into an interception by
Dak. He alligator armed that one like a son of a gun. It was a terrible decision to throw it into three guys,
yes,
but he got it.
It was.
There. But
it
he
was,
got
yes.
it there. And yes. CeeDee Lamb's got to catch the ball.
CeeDee Lamb decided, ooh, I'm having a really good game right now. I want to have a big season.
I'm not getting laid out here.
I can't catch that. I can't catch that ball. So an interception turns into a touchdown pass. Brady to Rob Gronkowski. Gronk now having a nice night. 557 and two touchdowns. The Bucs lead the Cowboys 28-19. Still a lot of time left here. You're talking about midway through the third quarter. But the CeeDee Lamb business decision cost the Cowboys there.
Three interceptions in this game. None of them are the quarterback's fault. I mean, you've got the Hail Mary, but that's one of those, whatever. You throw it up at the end of a half. But you look at the defense that was called on that touchdown pass to Gronkowski. They sold out, and DeMarcus Lawrence had to try to cover Gronkowski scraping across the middle.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he was running in mud.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he barely got off the line of scrimmage, and you can see the look on his face, like, nah! And Gronkowski walks in. So, huge night. Brady up to 248-4.
Yeah, so maybe Tom Brady's going to want to win the MVP.
There you go. He wants one more.
It could be Brady. So we'll have more of this game coming up in a few minutes. But clearly, one of the weirdest and oddest stories in the NFL today, we now know why Bengals potential stud rookie receiver Ja'Marr Chase is having trouble catching the ball, right? Like the Bengals drafted him. Hey, reunited with Joe Burrow. They got some weapons there in Cincinnati. They're feeling pretty good. But Ja'Marr Chase is at a rough go of it in the preseason with a lot of drops. Well, he finally talked today about what the reason was behind his drops. Take a listen.
The ball is different because it's bigger, of course. Another reason is it's different because it doesn't have the white stripes on the side, so you can't see the ball coming in from the tip of the point. So now you actually have to look for the strings on the ball at the top, which is a little hard to see because the whole ball is brown, and then you have like six strings that's white. But for the most part, you know what I'm saying? You just got to get used to it.
All right, so I do like how in-depth he went in describing the college ball to the NFL ball. I like
if
that.
You've never seen them, you now know exactly what they look like, how they feel, and the whole nine yards.
But the first thing I can help him out with, there's something he needs. I can actually help him out with something.
Okay, good.
Let's hear the beginning of the soundbite again, Alex Teicher. Go ahead, play it.
The ball
it again.
Is different Because it's bigger, of course. Another reason is it's different because it doesn't have the white stripes on the side, so you can't see the ball coming.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. I can help you. You're missing the white stripes, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Take the elevator at the Hotel Yorba. I'll be glad to see you later. All they got inside is vacancies. Dun, 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 dun. And it's 4, 5, 6, 7. Grab your umbrella. Stand next to me because I'm your pretty fella. All they got inside is vacancies. He misses the white stripes. I just came to Hotel Yorba.
That's pretty good. It was either that or you were going to start playing Seven Nation Army. That way everybody would go into a trance so they'd forget what they were asking about and all his struggles catching the football. But the way this got displayed, though, on social media.
Oh, yeah.
That was a whole other world that started to escalate quickly. And he immediately had to go on to defend his honor. You saw Chad Johnson, the artist known as Ocho Cinco, amongst others, saying, hey, hold on. Because we had the, let's see, what was the tweet was something just along the lines of, you know, paraphrasing everything that he just said there.
Yeah, he said, listen, it's just something I need to adjust to. It's not saying I can't do it. He was just saying, I just need to adjust to this.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the exact verbiage because he took offense and a number of people immediately like, wait a minute, that's not what he said. How dare you?
Chris Berman would say, and there's the pass to Ja'Marr Chase. Oh, incomplete.
Oh, wow.
TJ.
Look at you. That was pretty good, I got to say. There was a guy that actually made a bet on Ezekiel Elliott to score tonight. He had the ball in the red zone. The guy bet $75,000, would have won $140,000. He's a little salty about that, no question about it. But, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase, his ability to now catch the football, really in question. And there it is.
Fox Sports Radio, I really thought we were going to get Hotel Yorba. But that's okay. I actually drove by the Hotel Yorba in Detroit.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, it's a Hotel Yorba. It's like seeing the Hollywood sign. More from this game and more from the Hotel Yorba next on Fox.